Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with Discover the Finger Lakes at SaverLife.com. And as I mentioned in the gardening show this morning, that Linwood Gardens has an open garden day today and the next two Saturdays, actually. 10 to 4, $20 contribution, and you need to register online at linwoodgardens.org. If you've never been there, it is, I think, just a magical property and expansive. Overlooking the Genesee Valley from the west, or it's on the west side of the Genesee Valley, sort of opposite. Geneseo is, you're kind of looking at Geneseo across the valley once you're in at Linwood Gardens, and it's just a perfect place to go and do some reading, take a picnic. You can't bring pets. But you could do some sketching or yoga or all kinds of things, just relaxing for the day. They don't have restroom facilities, so keep that in mind and planning when you're going to be there and how long. But I think you have a lot of fun exploring it. Also, got a note from Washington Grove, the Friends of Washington Grove. This is right by the reservoir in Cobbs Hill. And they are, the city of Rochester is going to be doing some work on this. Actually, Birchcrest, I guess, is they're doing the work. And maybe, I'm not sure actually who's paying for it. Maybe partly paid for by the Friends of Washington Grove, but they are going to be doing a facelift on the Nunde entrance to Washington Grove. And Nunde is a small street that runs off of Winton. San Gabriel is also in that area. And so Nunde kind of dead ends into Washington Grove. You can also access Washington Grove from up above where the reservoir is located, but the Nunde entrance is convenient, and it needed some work. So they've got September 15th is when this is going to happen. They're going to have an alternative entrance, so you could still get in that way, but it'll be just, I don't know, 20-30 feet away from where they're doing the work. So they're going to be installing some new wood steps and an island that's going to protect the roots of some of those trees right there at the entryway. They're going to replace the lower steps with Medina stone steps and rebuild the wall in the style of the 1937 original. Also, install recycled stone pavers between the end of the tar and the wall. And they're going to remove another large Norway maple just south of the entry. And Friends of Washington Grove have been working for quite a few years now on stabilizing paths using mulch, on trying to prevent erosion, on removing some of the invasive species, and Norway maple is one of those, and replanting with some native trees and wildflowers and perennials. And they have a note. It says, we've removed plants from either side of the current entry so they won't be destroyed during the construction. We'll be replanting them, likely adding additional edging once Birchcrest has completed its work. And they also are going to revarnish the wood Washington Grove sign that hangs over that entrance. So they have a temporary path from the street south of the entry during the renovation restoration, so you can still access the grove from Nunde Boulevard. We anticipate parking will be extremely limited, and that's maybe easier to park up by the reservoir. Well, it's a pretty neighborhood to walk through in that area anyway, some pretty houses. So, you know, if you have to park a little ways away from that Nunde entrance, maybe it's a pretty walk while you're there. So if you are interested in nature or just helping one of our local organizations that has done a lot of work to maintain and protect Washington Grove, which is it's an old growth forest right in the city of Rochester, which is really unusual. It was too steep and inaccessible for them to log, you know, decades ago when that might have happened. And people protected it and kept it as a kind of a, you know, just a old growth park in the city. And if you haven't been, you should go and check it out. It's not huge. You can't really get lost in Washington Grove because there's some big water towers up there, which have a lot of graffiti on them. Those are kind of pretty. And you got the reservoir there. You have Tay House, the lodge that the city of Rochester owns. And you have Nunday Boulevard. And then, you know, there's just, it feels fairly big when you're down there. But again, you're not going to get lost. So explore Washington Grove, and I can't wait to see what they do with this restoration of the entrance at Nunday Boulevard. But you might try and go over there before they do this. You have a few days before September 15th, and then go back and see what they've done to restore that. So, you know, whether it's Friends of Washington Grove or Friends of the Rochester Public Market, there are some great organizations to get involved in to make our city even better place to live. And, you know, the Friends of the Rochester Public Market, one of their things that they've been doing for probably 20 years now is running the SNAP program. And I think, as I recall, the Rochester Public Market has one of the biggest programs in the country. And what that does is allows people to use their SNAP benefits there at the market with local farmers. And so it's helping people live in the city, but it's also helping the local farmers generate more income. So lots of cool groups to get involved in, and maybe, you know, maybe that's part of your coronavirus therapy, is to get involved with one of these groups where there are a whole variety of things that you can do to help, and you can do some of those from home. You can do some of those outdoors. They do work parties at Washington Grove, but a lot of great options to get involved in the community, meet some people, but also, you know, stay safe and socially distanced. And you know, I would guess that both of these groups, I know quite a few of the people in them, that they're probably wearing masks and being pretty careful. There's also groups like Flower City Pickers that at the Rochester Public Market, they help to make sure that food that is discarded by vendors, that, you know, they can't sell it, don't want it anymore, don't want to bring it back to their warehouse, that food is often very quite good, might need to be sorted through, but that's what they do. Flower City Pickers, fabulous group of people, and they are keeping things out of landfills, which is, that alone is good, but especially ridiculous to put edible, perfectly good food in a landfill, which is what people in the United States do every day. And so it just so happens that the Rochester Public Market, there's a lot of food, a lot of food distributors there, and so tons of food they are diverting from the landfill, going, what's good food and edible goes to people, and what is not edible goes to animals, and what the animals wouldn't eat goes to compost. And you know, this is exactly what we need more of. this kind of work to make sure that we're using our resources and we're helping to feed people and again keeping things out of landfills. So there was another proposal in the Finger Lakes that Seneca Waterways posted about. Someone wants to basically build a solid waste landfill in the Finger Lakes. And the Finger Lakes already takes something like 52% of the trash in New York State goes into our landfills. A lot of that coming out of New York City. A lot of that going to the landfill near Seneca Falls in Waterloo called Seneca Meadows, which is such a lovely name. I don't know, maybe someday there will be a meadow on top of it with all that trash underneath it. But, you know, Seneca Waterways, formerly Gas Free Seneca, that's the same people, Joseph Campbell and Yvonne Taylor, who've done an amazing job helping to protect the Finger Lakes and Seneca Lake in particular, but the Finger Lakes in general. And so they're on the lookout for these kinds of proposals, and there's concern that this kind of small landfill may grow, and the one that's being proposed, and you know, we don't need to take more trash here in the Finger Lakes. So we've been taking it for decades, and we need to come up with new ways to deal with it. And shipping it in from New York City is not a revenue stream that we want in the Finger Lakes. We've got plenty already. So that's one of the reasons I love what Flower City Pickers does. They're diverting things that would go to landfills, many, many tons of it, that don't belong in landfills, that have many benefits. And that's exactly what we need to do more of. So if you want to get involved in helping to protect the Finger Lakes, the fresh water that we have here, consider joining Seneca Lake Guardian, some fantastic people. And if you're interested in some topic in general, wonder if there's groups that deal with this, or organizations, etc., send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. Perhaps I can help direct you to some interesting people. And it often feels like that there's not much impact that a single person can have, but these groups are great examples of where a small group of people has had big impacts, and you can be a part of that. So again, email me, michael@saverlife.com. If you've seen any woolly bears out crossing the bike path or sidewalks, it's often where we spot them, let me know. Haven't seen any yet this fall. It's fall is really just beginning, but this is when the woolly bears go on the move. And they're just adorable little creatures. So, again, send me a photo if you see one at some point this fall. And you can always email me, michael@saverlife.com, if you have comments, questions. If you've been out on a beautiful trail recently and discovered a really gorgeous area, the parks, like Highland Park, are not as busy as they are in the spring because the lilacs aren't blooming, but there's lots of cool things to explore. And this is the time of the year that the Seven Suns tree, which is really a large shrub, small tree, that starts to bloom. It's got white flowers, and when it's done blooming white, it leaves these in their place, really, the red sepals that look like flowers also. And if you want to go in search of the Seven Suns tree in Highland Park, it is a little bit hidden from the paths. But basically, if you're down at the Forsythia, and you walk up I guess you don't want to walk through the forsythia. You want to take the kind of curving path that goes up to that side of the where the rhododendrons are in Highland Park. And before you get to the rhododendrons, you need to go off the path, and you're basically on the kind of the south side of the big evergreens and hemlocks that help to shade the rhododendrons. And you've got beautiful views as you look off toward the Bristol Hills. But that's where the Seven Suns trees are. There's a couple of them, and they're sort of on that south hill, but up above that curving pathway. So hopefully those directions will get you there. If they don't, and email me, and I'll try to give you better directions. But just we should wander through Highland Park. Some of the hydrangeas are especially pretty this time of the year, the smoke bush. And you may find some occasional flowers or things in bloom. I was in Highland Park about a week ago, and there were some magnolias blooming. Not, you know, entire trees of them, but the occasional magnolia flower that was, I don't know, just fooled into blooming, or just, you know, being a wanting to be different. There are a couple beautiful magnolia flowers in Highland Park. And again, not that many people using it. And you should get off the main paths and do some exploring. You might find the persimmon trees. You might go and check out the corkscrew willow or the katsura. Lots of cool things. I was actually at someone who frames pictures and paintings up in Greece called Frameworks. Jason's a really very nice person and does great work. And I was picking up something that a friend had framed, picking it up for them. And he had this gorgeous tree photo that had just been framed. And I said, you know, is that the katsura in Highland Park? And it was. These are some stunning trees in Highland Park, and you should go off the path, do some exploring. We had a picnic there just about a week ago, a couple weeks ago, and saw very few people. And it's a beautiful time in the park, some great sunsets from up there. Great opportunities to take photos and go into the Poet's Garden, which is kind of a woodland path that is near the St. John's home, but up near Reservoir Road and not far from the conservatory. It's something people usually miss. They don't even notice it off to the right as you head down toward the magnolias. And that used to have more shade until a microburst came through Rochester and destroyed a couple oak trees that were in there. Still very shady and woodland-like, but it did lose a couple of big oak trees. And you know, microburst is when, like, the jet stream comes down and hits land, and it doesn't usually do that, but it's the winds that are, like, I don't know, 150 miles an hour or something, just... it tore up a couple oak trees in Genesee Valley Park too, and I don't know if that was the same incident or another one, but it occasionally happens during storms. And you know, these oak trees, it's the only thing that can destroy them. They're so strong and they're so large, and so I think there's still a couple stumps in that Poet's Garden area of Washington Grove, but. You should explore it, and again, not just the main area of Highland Park, but also some of the areas over toward Mount Hope, and it's beautiful in the cemetery too right now, as fall arrives, and especially as the trees start to change color in another month. Lots of areas to explore, and not many people out exploring them. So send me ideas on some of your favorite places, and especially send me some photos of some of the things that you find maybe in bloom, or things you can't identify, or just beautiful sunsets, etc. The Finger Lakes wineries have started harvest in earnest. A couple weeks ago, some of the first grapes started coming in, but now they are, many of the wineries in full swing harvesting. Sometimes some of the earlier grapes that come in are for sparkling wine, because the sparkling wines like Champagne that come from a cool climate, grapes are not necessarily fully ripe for some of those champagnes. And so the Finger Lakes also doing similar sparkling wines and harvesting them early in the season. The main harvest for Riesling and Cabernet and Lemberger, etc., Pinot Noir, that'll happen really in October. But the wineries are starting to post photos of some of the first grapes coming in, and it's an exciting time of the year. Also wanted to note, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow, that there's a this person I ran into who was given my name by Josh Durso at Finger Lakes One. And this is a guy in Ithaca Trumansburg area, Eric Clay, who does his local interviews, but they are different kinds of interviews than most. And interviewed me a couple of months ago, and has recently interviewed a couple of Finger Lakes winemakers, which I just listened to those interviews the last couple of days. These are long interviews. So there's an interview with Peter Bell, longtime winemaker at Fox Run. There's also a nearly two-hour interview with Julia Hoyle and Kelby Russell, who live in Geneva, and Kelby's longtime winemaker at Red Newt. Julia Hoyle is the winemaker at Hosmer Winery, formerly at Sheldrake Point. So two winemakers who are happen to be married. And so the interviews are not so much about the wine. They're more philosophical and I think a fascinating way and a kind of theme for the interviews. So you can read about some of the questions that Eric Clay asks, and really delves into areas and relationships and topics in a different way than most interviews. So I think it'd be fascinating. He's done hundreds of interviews, and you can find those on his website. But this is one of the first times he's interviewed some of our local winemakers, who are fascinating people beyond the wine. And I think you'll get that sense when you see this. The only other place that I really got this type of background on people and things was in Evan Dawson's book Summer in a Glass, where he spent hours and recorded interviews with about a dozen winemakers in the Finger Lakes, including Peter Bell, and Kelby James Russell too. And they this give you a more of a full sense of the person rather than just kind of what they do and, you know, how they make wine and why it's good wine, you know, kind of those kinds of things. So, so Evan Dawson hasn't continued to produce other books about wine. He only did Summer in a Glass. I kind of hope at some point he will, because I like that format, and I'd like to read about more of the winemakers in the Finger Lakes in that format. But Eric Clay is, I think, going to be doing some other winemakers in the future, and you can listen to these interviews at madeofclay.org. And if you want the link or more details, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. One of the things that I liked about what he did and my interview, he asks you to pick some music to play during the interview at various points, sort of a music break. And so that was fun to pick out music. I had like 20 pieces that I wanted to use, and And he only uses, you know, like five or six. So, but maybe he interviews me again at some point in the future. I can incorporate those pieces. It was fun to hear what Peter Bell and Julian Kelby chose for music. Some of it was kind of predictable because I know them a bit. And, you know, Peter plays banjo and Kelby is a singer. So I had a sense for what they'd pick, but fun to kind of hear personal, you know, musical, not really recommendations, just pieces that and composers or artists that that speak to them. You know, so you kind of get a different point of view on people that you know fairly well. I've interviewed both of them quite a few times, and you know, keep track of what they're doing and run into them at various tastings. So I, you know, I have a fairly good sense of these people, but these interviews with Eric Clay give a new perspective to it, and really, really well done. So check them out at madeofclay.org. And then, you know, he's interviewed lots of people, mainly from the Ithaca, Trumansburg area. And, you know, interviewed a rabbi, interviewed business people, community organizers, quite a range of different people. And again, gets into some more of sort of philosophical conversations in these interviews. So check them out. And again, especially the ones with these winemakers, partly because it's just because I know them, I found them especially interesting. But I've listened to a bunch of his other interviews and some fascinating people that he has run into. So if you find things like this, like Eric Clay's interviews, email me, let me know, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back tomorrow with The Grapevine, 9 a.m. tomorrow here at saverlife.com. Have a great day. Enjoy this beautiful weather.